Okay, Rabbi Sai. We have mentioned that there are quite a bit of Gdol Yisrael and Balim Kubalim that were on the side of the Ramchal during the course of his ordeal. Nevertheless, the strength and the overpowering efforts of the opposing side actually bore fruit. And again, one of the main instigators was a person by Rav Moshe Chagiz. Moshe Chagiz was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Bal Mekubal as well. He originally comes from Eretz Yisrael. He makes his way to Europe to raise funds for the yeshiva. But while he's there, during the course of his time, he sees the opportunity. You never miss an opportunity. We're able to get away from Melchomel L'Shem Shemayim. And Kolpolim, he was very, very strong about this. And he actually being, interesting, an outsider, coming to Germany, he in fact starts to instigate the Rav of Hamburg, which is Yecheskel Katzenellenbogen, which the Mechaber of Shalsi Shuvitz Knesset Yecheskel, who was succeeded later by Rabbi Yonis and Eibschitz. And Yecheskel Katzenellenbogen was also one of the main opposition side against the Ramchal. And maybe the most powerful, because you realize we're talking about Italy, and therefore the Rabbonim of Venice. The Rabbonim of Venice were influenced very much by Rav Moshe Chagiz, very strongly to go up against the Ramchal. And basically, as we see, the Satan succeeded in the sense that to blind the eyes of many, to say that here you have a youngster. You realize Ramchal, doing all that and accomplishing all that he achieved, he was still in his early 20s. And to have someone such a young age to claim that he had reached such great heights in the areas of Kedusha, having a Malach come to visit him, to teach him the secrets of Torah, having a Yoha Novi come to him, and summoning, he says, the Ovis HaGadoshim, and so on, the Neshomas of all the greats of the past, coming to see him, was something which you can understand, which very, very skeptical, didn't seem believable at all. Certainly a person at such a great young age, to be able to do all that. And the good side of it was a little bit because the Rebbe of Ramchal was one of the Gedolei Ador, his name was one of the Ziknei Ador, one of the elders of the generation, Rabbi Yeshaya Basson, as we mentioned, who originally was from Padua, but then he had moved to Riggio. And the fact that his Rebbe really supported him helped him somewhat, but Lamaise, it didn't help fully. And the truth is, his Rebbe also had kashis, because it also seemed very like he knew his Talmud, but he knew his Talmud in one way, but the hidden madrigas to the great heights that Ramchal had claimed, I mean, that was became apparent by certain things that his writings and so on, it seemed very, very questionable, and his Rebbe himself asked him questions, and there was letters on record where Ramchal writes to his Rebbe, trying to explain to him all the doubts that his Rebbe has, and to smooth them out, and try to explain why, yes, it is very believable, and in truth, everything that he claims is in fact is emes. So, the Israeli, as a matter of fact, also writes letters to many, many different places to try to explain away, as you say, the Ramchal's side and his standing. And the truth is that Italy, many, many places, did accept it, the Ramchal's position being what he was, and that was mainly in Livorno. Livorno is a place that we also visited, although it was like something like 11:30 at night or so, when we arrived over there. And you can realize there is they have a Choshen Rav, as a matter of fact. His father, Shirov, a very young man from Eretz Yisrael, who is the Rav of the Shul. The Shul over there stands at the same Mokoim where the original Shul stood, which is from the time of the Chidoh. The Chidoh, the last 20 years and more of his life, he lived in Livorno, in Italy, for many reasons. One of the reasons was because it was the main public center of Sfarim, and the Chidoh wrote about 100 Sfarim, and this was a major place of publishing Sfarim, and in addition, maybe most important, he had people willing to pay for it, because without money, he can't print any Sfarim, and it was very highly respected all over the world. But Kalponim in Livorno, where he was, he had a lot of Nadvonim, so he stayed there, as we say, more than 20 years, and he was Nifter, he was buried actually in Livorno, until in the 60s, Ramot Chaliyo from Eretz Yisrael, through a lot of political intervention, was able to get the Italian government to agree to have the Chidor as remains being brought to Eretz Yisrael, which everybody goes in Har HaMenuchos. You can see there the big oil that is built by the Chidor, and people come from all over to be mispowel on the caver of the Chidor. It was said that when the body was removed, that it was whole and fresh, it was not decomposed. This is what Eidus are being made. Even though the Chidor was nifter right just at the turn of the 1800s, right in the beginning, and we're talking about more than 200 years later. Okay, that's the Chidor. So the Rabbanim of Livorno did support, as we say, one on the side of the Ramchal. But those that were further away, who did not b'chlal know him and anything, did prefer, were in opposition. And as we mentioned, his Rebbe alone, as we said, had some questions and had sveikas regarding that. So the Ramchal had one thing he requested. He wrote to all those who opposed him. You know what? How about come to meet me? He says, how are you opposing me based upon rumors and things that you have heard? The right thing to do would be to meet me, or maybe invite me to come to meet you, and so on and so forth. So maybe we'll be able to, I get to see eye to eye, and we'll see the emissaries with whom the emissaries. And most of the Rabbanim of Germany were against him. Some of the Rabbanim of Poland were also against him. And on the other hand, as we said, he also had support from tremendous great Balaam Mukabolan, as we mentioned like last week, and so on. So the Ramchal writes letters. He said, listen, try to investigate me and try to see the truth. He says that he's not an imposter, he's not faking, he's not claiming something that is untrue, and so on and so forth. But it didn't help. It didn't help. At the end, the Rabbonim, and I say many of the Rabbonim in Venice, the great Rabbonim of Venice, who were the greatest, one can say, of the opposition, decided to send three of their Rabbonim to go to Padua and visit Ramchal and try to check him out. And when Ramchal's Rebbe, Rabbi Shai Basan, heard about it, he says to him, it's not a good idea, because they're not coming with honorable intentions. They're not coming really to be objective and to investigate you and to hear what they don't want to hear. They're going to come to try to destroy you. And therefore his Rebbe advised him, and he said, because I'm afraid, as a matter of fact, if they're going to come, they're going to force you under the edict of the Beis Din that you transfer all your manuscripts of all your writings to hand it over to them. So therefore the Rebbe says, you know what? What I'd like you to do is give me, deposit all of your manuscripts, everything that you have written, write with me, leave it with me, and once it's with me, for me they have the cheres. He says, we cannot make such a demand. Again, as we said, he's a highly recognized Godla Dorib Shai Basam. To the media would not be able to do such a thing, to demand that I return like those manuscripts. So Kachavir, this is what it turned out to be, that they came, the three great Rabbonim, as we say, of Venice came, and the following is, in fact, they forced them to write and to sign the following document. And here we give you some little bit of the lashon of, in fact, that the Ramchal was forced to write. And this is actually what he wrote. And he says, actually, his Rebbe told him that. In order to neutralize the machlekes, he says, write the following. And this is what he wrote. He says, Yan ubayan. He says, being in the faith, by the way, this Rebbe told him, even if you're in the right, but it doesn't look good, the Marisayan, that you as a youngster are opposing great Rabbonim, well-known Rabbonim of Venice. So even if you're in the right, but the fact that you're defying them, it does not look right. It's not a good impression, and it will not, down the road, it will not bring any good. So the Ramchal writes the following. He writes, Yan ubayan, being Call Isha Shibishem Yisrael Yechune. Any person who calls himself a Yid. Chai Lishmoyel Divrei Rav Chachmi Yisrael. Rav, he says. Zimachuyiv to listen to Motha Vachachmi Yisrael. Vloy Losu Moi Rosam. And not is to turn away from the Psak Haloche. Afilo Yoyimu Al Smoil Shu Yemin Va Yemin Shu Smoil. As we know, Loy Soser. You have to follow. So therefore he says, Ani Achosumato. I, the signed underneath, who signs underneath. When they are coming here to request and to try to investigate, he says, I will do it. My Rebbe says, Kashagoma oimalasos kobalti atzas musar tuvanosa. I accept the eitzah of my Rebbe. Kashu mipiv chayese. I live from him. Ramchal is mavatl himself very strongly to his Rebbe. Even though the Rebbe, in many things, used to ask the Ramchal regarding especially Yonam of Kabbalah. I live, he says, from the Torah of my Rebbe, Vanichai ubenefesh chafetzah, and he says, very willingly, happily, agreeable, but dalti tat mavatl mayon das mitne datoy, as is appropriate, he says, and therefore, he says, I'm mavatl, and first of all, he says, I give over all my chiburim, all this is the svarim that I wrote, asher sisi aririm hazeh, api ha-magid, all that the Magid the Malach taught me, when Nishamas Kedoshim, he had Nishamas come to visit him, all the secrets that the Nishamas revealed to me, I gave it over to him, he says, and Mamela, he says, I'm a Kabul upon myself, I got my Achshon, and Yemei Shiv Yodi, I will hold back, Melichtev Oit Shum Chibu Beloshin Azoyer. As we mentioned, the Ramchal's Koyach is that many, many Chiburim, he wrote, everything was in Aramaic. If one would look at it, you would think that this is actually a second Zohar Kodesh, which is actually really what it was. From now on, he said, I will not write anything, he said, Beloshin Azoyer, or in anything which will be B'Shem the Magid, or anything which are the Nishomas HaKadoshim, he writes, I want the Chachomim of our generation, he was referring to those that oppose him. He writes with the Cheres, Chachomim Dereinu, Kibayim as Bukhati, I chose to do the truth, She'ein Ritzayin Iligurim Chaz Vishol Machloikis Ben Kal Hashem Cholish Yisrael. I don't want to be a Machloikis, he says, between the different groups in Klal Yisrael, and everything should go Bisholim. So therefore, Nosati Biad Moi Riv Rabbi, I gave in the hands of my Rebbe, Haksav Azeh, this written document, he says, this signed document, Asher Kol O Omer Boy Kobalti Olai Benefesh Chafetzo, very agreeable, but that's Terula, it says, sound mind, Umi Yushevis, Belisha Moines, not under duress. And he writes so on and so forth, more and more, and, but he added interesting thing, very smartly, he says, V'chol Zeh Sebe Yoisi B'chutz La'aretz. Ramchal had a mind to be Olo Tess Yisrael, in fact, which he did, which clearly I already wrote, that whatever I'm a Kabbalah over here is only while I'm still in Chutz La'aretz. The moment I'm in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't write the other side, Meklalav Atei Shemehem, then all of this taka does not apply. Ve'lirois, l'rayis ho'emes, chosamti shmi poi padua, yo'imbeis, he says, shloisha l'chodesh menachemov, was the year 1930, l'briyas oylam, l'hakl shor v'kayim, he writes, and so on. So, after he signed that, he had the three Rabbonim of Venice. Mention their names. Not familiar names to us. One was Nechem Yechai, one of the Rabbonim. The other one was Yaakov Belalios. Tell your name. Bianca Belalios. The other one was Moshe Menachem Merori. These were the three Rabbonim that came. And they acknowledged, B'moisef Kloset, we were sitting three, Kechode, like a Bezdin. And also Lekadmano came, Reb Moshe Chaim, Ben Reb Yankiv, Lutzato. And Mamele, he agreed to everything that we wanted from him. And this is the document that we got from him. So this is, Rabbi said, this is one chelik, and one might think, okay, so now he gave them what they wanted, it still did not stop to be continued. Alright, just mentioned that next Monday night is Hanukkah, so the issue will be postponed until the following Monday. We go to the Derech Hashem, Rabbi said, Ramchal, and we are in Daf Lamed Vov in the edition that you have in front of you. Daf Lamed Vov. Okay. It happens to be in Peri Gimel. Peri Gimel of the first Chelik. It's Ois Dalad, V'ulam. Okay, Daf Lamed Vov, Ois Dalad, V'ulam. Michal discussed before that there are two periods, he says, basically in the life circle of a man. There's the tekufa, which is the earning period, the time that a person earns through his effort all the schar that he is expected to get. That is one tekufa. Then we have the second period. The second period is the period of reward. So there's a time when the efforts of earning ends. Right? That's the time. And as we pointed out, the time of earning is a limited amount of time. How much Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you? 80, 90, to 120. But the reward is forever. Is unlimited. So these are the two tkufis in the circle of a man's lifetime. The time period that he's alive to earn the reward through his efforts, that's the effort, the zman of effort, the time of putting in your koyach, to putting in your achievement. So it goes down to Amchal and explains the difference between the two periods. You know, between the time of earning your reward, and then the second kufet, receiving your reward. And it goes on as follows. The ulam kifi is chalev zamanoi. Being he said that the time periods are different. The time period of earning reward and the time period of receiving reward are different periods. So being that they are different periods, kach royu sheyischalev matzovoi u'sha'ar mikrov. So it is appropriate that also the environment of man and the experiences are also different in the two. You know, the experience of a man is different, and his whole, he says, environment is different during the period that he is earning his reward, to the period that he is receiving his reward. As he says, he calls the mana ishtablus, because while a person is still right striving, a person is still working towards perfection. That's in the tkufa, right, of earning. So calls the mana ishtablus during the time when a person is still striving towards perfection. We're talking about that's during the lifetime of a person. It's very important, right? It's very important that he is in a setting. Right? He has to be in a setting. Means that Kodesh Baruch puts a man in a setting that contains all the elements that necessary for such an effort. The effort to be able to earn schar means that Kodesh Baruch places him in a situation where he's going to be able, right, in that setting, to have all the elements necessary towards that effort. And he explains it. Pirish. In order for a person to be able to earn reward, he says, it is imperative that the man finds himself in a struggle, in a war. Because effort means that a person has to overcome mountains. A person has to overcome, he says, insecurities. A person has to find himself in Melchomo, Shizuchanu. There is a continuous war. What we mentioned, said Ramchal, before. In others, that's where you have maximum challenge. And that is, a person finds himself in a war ben ha-seichel v'ha-choymer, between the spiritual and the physical. So in order to earn reward, the pshat is, why are you earning your reward? You're earning reward because you had temptation and you had the good sense and you had the Siyata Dishmaya to overcome your temptations in that war between the spiritual and the physical. So this is the constant situation that a person finds himself during the period of earning reward. And that is overcoming the enemy. The enemy is the physical versus the spiritual. Now, in this environment, there is nothing to prevent, he says, the physical from prevailing. In other words, the physical will always demand what it does. It desires, it lusts, it wants. This is the way it is. Because Baruch Hu put the body, the human body, in such a situation that it does what a human body does. Because Baruch Hu will not prevent Sheyakev again. He will not find Sheyakev is a Choymer. He will not find a situation. Choymer, of course, is the physical, the material. Because Baruch Hu will not prevent the material, the physical, from prevailing and doing it for what it can. Right? That means what it's supposed to be doing. On the other hand also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also not prevent your spiritual koiches. Nothing would also exist to prevent the spiritual from doing likewise. According to its shir. In other words, what he says, nothing would exist, says Ramchal, to give either side the advantage. Because Baruch Hu created, there's going to be a balance. It doesn't always appear so. Sometimes it appears, of course, that the koyach of the physical is seen much more stronger than the koyach of the spiritual. But the truth is, you have the koyach within you. Because Baruch Hu will not allow the physical to overpower itself more than it should be allowed to do. There's a gvul. Person says, oh, I have such a kefelchet, which is very, very strong. But it's not more than it is allowed, the reshus that is given. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu, says Ramchal, will not allow anything which would be greater than the physical is chazik yosem, and the old person says, hey, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me an extra strong yosem hara that I can't handle it. It's not true. Kodesh Baruch Hu will not. It appears that way. And then the stories are very, very difficult. But Ramchal is telling us, Kodesh Baruch Hu does not allow the physical, right, to be mischazik, to prevail, and to overpower more then is appropriate. Because Baruch will not give it an inappropriate advantage. That's what the Ramchal is saying. And also the other side also. And therefore also he says, Kribach will not give the seichel, the spiritual, is chazik yoisem in haro. Now one would say, hey, the purpose of a person is to be an Oved Hashem. Wouldn't it make sense? Because Baruch should give the spiritual side the stronger. But then says Ramchal, then you're going to be losing your real Bechira. Because if the spiritual force is going to be much stronger, he says, then the other side, then the efforts that you are supposed to be kainu shleimus, that you are supposed to achieve perfection, is going to be compromised. That's what Ramchal is pointing. Even though on the surface it would seem, it would appear it's that the spiritual should be stronger. Being, he says, based upon the true purpose, what Hashem wants, right? That Hashem created man, what does he want? Hashem desires that man should gain perfection through his own effort. If the spiritual would be so much stronger than the physical, he says, then it would not be good. Because then the man is not kain shleimus to his own ishtadlus. Continues Ramchal, and he says, Ubizman kibul schar. And therefore he says, on the other hand, so this is one tekufa. So the tekufa that a person is in the tekufa of earning reward, because Baruch puts him in that setting that he is in a situation of constant struggle. There's always the struggle between the guf and the neshama. That was the lashon that he used in the previous segment before. And there's a constant struggle, which is the same between the physical and the spiritual. And that is to have a balance that man now will, through his own decision, will decide which path to choose. He was given the bechira, and it is with his own ishtablus that he gains perfection. But that is the strife, the struggle, and everything. He has the physical versus the spiritual. That is in the tkufa of earning reward, because that's where you earn your schar. How? By the milchoma that you have between the physical and the spiritual. And a person is zoche, come to realization, and ultimately the spiritual, the ruchnius, overpowers the gashmius. That's how he earns his reward. But when it comes the time of receiving schar, that's in the afterlife. Bizman kibul schar. The period of reward, in a royal shiyah b'matzav hofchi was there. Then he said the exact opposite is true. Kihine, the truth is on this world, if Hashem would try to give you all the schar in the world, you could not. Because the physical world is not capable of receiving with it. If you take the entire world and try to fill it with all the schar, every inch and every space, this physical world is not capable of filling it with the quality of schar that can only be enjoyed, he says, in the next world. If you were that physical, when the time of reward arrives, and you still have the physical aspect, the physical would only darken the neshama. The physical would always be a blocker. It would not be possible for the neshama really to bask in the glory of Ashrois Ashchineh, cause man you have the physical aspect connected to it. For Alkein, therefore, during the time of reward, in a royal, what is appropriate? Shaloi Tishlat Oz Ela Neshama. So therefore, at that time, only the neshama prevails. And he says, V'achoyme Yenim Shechachreya Legamre. And the physical is totally subjugated to it, and there's no restraint at all. Now, he says, for that reason, being that when it comes the time of receiving reward, you have to make sure that the physical is out of the way. So Hashem created two worlds. There's the Olam Hazeh, and you have the Olam Habo. So the Yomnam, it is for this precise reason, Alkei Nivru Shnei Olomos. Therefore, because Baruch Hu created, he says, two worlds. Olam Hazeh, this world, and you have the Olam Habo. Olam Hazeh, of course, the environment of this world, Hamokoim Vachukim Mativim Shaloi. This world has natural laws, and these natural laws are necessary, right, for Ishtavus on this world. The natural laws, the Mochoma, which all the Teva, which have the physical, which the physical demands with the physical ones, is necessary. The Odom, it said, Heima Shiroi Lodom calls Mana Ishtadlus. That's when you need the physical. Because only through the physical, which fights the spiritual, that's the hishtablus, in order to earn the reward. So you need the physical versus the spiritual. But he says, when it comes to the next world, so the environment and the laws in the next world are totally different. Hamoka, the place, the environment. Vachukim shaloi, heima, are simply, are tailor-made. The next world is tailor-made. The whole environment and all of its laws are tailor-made. Ma'ashiroyeloi b'zman kibul schar. What man needs, what's necessary for the time of receiving, he says, schar. So now, says Ramchal, realize, look at man. Man has his struggles between the guf and the neshama. Man has his struggles between the physical and the spiritual. It was not always that way. That's only after the chait of Adam Arishon. Ramchal goes to toy to give us a little bit of an idea. What was the difference before the chait and after the chait? And he goes on to say, what's necessary among the things that you have to understand, and that is shehine hamin hua anushi, that the human species, right, had been radically changed. The whole matzah, the whole construction of the human species has been radically changed. In other words, the first Aveira resulted in a drastic change, not only in man, but also in nature. Nature discusses later. Notice the whole composition of the world changed after the chait of Adam Arishon. But at this point, he's discussing man. And he points out as follows. Hine haminu anushi. He says, the human species, the entire human species, ein in yonoi horishon, he says, it was not the way originally. He said, the way it used to be is not the same that it is now. Why? Ki ulam shinui godul hoyaboy. As a result of Adam Arishon's first man's sin, right, a great change took place. What kind of a change? Shinishtanaboy ho Adam vo oilam mima shahoy betchila. So the chait basically transformed both man and the world, he points out. It changed it to a large degree, which he's going to point out, to a large degree, which entails many things and has numerous effects, as he says. To tell you all the details, but don't to say, Horabim, he says, there's a lot of details and a lot of things, he says, that have entailed. However, he says, the full details we'll discuss later. This will be discussed later in the future. But you have to know now is Venimso. But basically what you have to know is Shahadibu Bemin Huanushi. When you talk about the human species, when you speak of man, Bahavchona bin Isuov, and you want to speak about basically, and you want to study, he says, the element of man, you find out there's two elements. It's a double element. One element of man before the sin, and a second element of man after the sin. That's why he says kfulim. It's a double element. Ki daber boy, because you can speak a man, or yidu boy, you can speak about man who ben esuav, and about his environment. So you can speak about man and his condition as it were before the chait, and yidu boy who ben esuav, you can speak about man and his condition bebchinosoi achra chait. Ukemoi shenevayer oid bezdes Hashem, as we will explain. So now he starts the following. Hine Adam Arishon. I want you to know, when the Kadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon, man was first created, the Eis Yitzirosoi, at the time that he was created, Hoyamamish Ba'oisoi HaMatzid Shezochanu Arheino. He was mamish in the matzid. Adam Arishon also had a guf. Adam Arishon also had a body. He had a body in the neshama. He was also in that matzid. Dahainu. Shuvoyamurkev. Adam Arishon was a combination. Mishnei achalochim ha-hofchim. Adam Arishon also was a combination of two equal opposites. Shomanu, shem ha-guf ha-neshama. U-be-metzies v'yishnei v'nyonim ha-toy v'hora. This was Ramchal's opinion. The Adam Arishon, even before the chait, he had two elements. There was a neshama and a guf. And you had, he says, two inyonim, which was toy v'ra. He says, however, it was balanced. And he was balanced between the two to choose. Adam Arishon should have had the good sense to choose the toif. The appropriate thing would have been that he chooses the good, the yagbir nishmosi al gufoi, and have the nishama overpower the body, the sikhloi and the spiritual al chomroi on the physical, the ozhoi mishtala miyad, he then would have attained immediate perfection, and that's what it would have been forever. That's it. When Rishon would have attained spiritual forever, would have attained a perfection, the noch bishleimus lo netzach, and then there will be no, any, nothing. This would have been perfection forever. So he says, the way we are now, he says, we are not even really aware, he said, to the extent of what the neshama is capable of doing for us. He says, you have to realize that we today, the only thing that makes us aware basically of our neshama is the fact that we are breathing. Because you know, without a neshama, you're not alive. But we don't really experience the spiritual charges. We were not aware of it, he says. That's why he says, I want you to know. Even though we are not, he says, we're not really normally aware, right, of our neshama, only because zulas hachius v'ha'askola. It's basically the neshama gives us life and it gives the ability to think. Ha'neshama shebemoichi. We know the neshama rests in the moich, he says. The truth is, I want you to know, says Ramchal, that neshama that we have has the power to transform even the nature of the body also. Man is not aware of it, because he's only aware of his neshama. The fact is, oh, I'm alive, so I must have a neshama. He knows you have to have a neshama. Once he sees the neshama, he knows he's not alive anymore. But it goes much more than that. The koyach of the neshama that you have is not only keeping you alive. That you know, that you realize, the neshama keeps you alive. But it's much more than that. The emes, in truth, says the Ramchal, yesh b'chukah. The neshama has in her nature, shetesakech, that she can purify. The neshama has the koyach to purify etzem aguf v'chomroi. She can purify the physical body. The physical body of man, usaleu, and to elevate that body, ilui acha ilui. Step by step, elevating, step by step, higher and higher. Ad sheiro, till the body basically reaches a madrega, leislavo yisimo, it becomes a zibuk. It becomes a companion for the neshama. Bahanor bishleimus takes pleasure from perfection, mamish Allah, like the neshama. The guf is able to attain perfection, mamish like the neshama. That is the credit that the neshama has to be able to purify the guf, little by little, step after step, ilui achar ilui. Ledovor zayi says, hoya odo marishin magia. Mamish or the marishin, had he not sinned, would have been able to attain that total perfection, would mamish that the guf also becomes a shtik neshama. Where the guf would all become mamish a piece of neshama. So he said, nishmosoi mizacheches es gufoi, zikuch acha zikuch. Atshoyim is dakech hashir hamistarech, until he will reach the highest level that's necessary, permanent. The nikva betanu ganitzchi, for everlasting pleasure. That it would have been held, the reason not sinned. That the body would have attained eternal pleasure, perfection, sarat madrega, and that would have lasted forever. But now that he sinned, things have changed, as Ramchal will explain, which we will leave for next time. But let's look at the sheet and take a look, a slightly, you'll see, different opinion in Rav Chaim Volozhin, Nefesh HaChaim, than here the Ramchal. Because what you had now from the Ramchal, that even other Rishon before the Chait, he said, there was a balance between Toiv and Ra. Right? There was a balance between Toiv and Ra, and he should have chosen the Toiv. Let's take a look, the only thing is, that Ramish, had he not sinned, he would have gained perfection once and for all forever. Be no more struggle at all. The fact that he sinned now to be Samashir is a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle. Now, let's take a look at both sides. Let's take a look here at the sheet. We'll take a look at a couple of lines here from Chaim Volozhin. In Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'alef in Perik Vov. Let's take a look at what Chaim Volozhin says in Nefesh HaChaim. Actually, when we had the year that we learned Nefesh HaChaim, we actually did come across this piece, and here's very appropriate to look at it again. The Inyan. The Inyan, says Reb Chaim. Ki koilem ha-chet, he says, Avad Adam Rishon always had a choice. Before the Chet, he also had a choice. Obviously, he had a choice. Im ki vadai shor bal b'chira gomur, lahafis atzma l'chola sheyachpois, Adam Rishon, before the Chet, he also had a choice to turn any direction that he wanted. Either lehetiv, either to do good, or lehepechaz v'sholom. After all, that's the tachlis of the bria. Tachlis of the bria, because that tachlis kavonis klal bria, that man, right, should make the right decisions. V'gam, he says, v'gam, after all, kareach kachotos. We've seen that he had a bechira, because obviously, he sinned. However, he says, what happened when Elisha sinned? How did he sin? What took place? Says Reb Chaim as follows: Omnom loy shohoyo. Do not make a mistake thinking that inyan bichirosoi machmas shekoychois hora hoyeklulim besoychoy. You see that? Listen to what Reb Chaim is saying. All the Marishan, as far as his body was concerned, was only toif. There's no vestige, he says, of negativity. You didn't have, he says, in his body, he didn't have the struggle between the physical and the neshama, between the physical and the spiritual. As far as his body was concerned, it was kuloi toiv. Unlike which appears in the Lashon Ramchal, that all Marishan, his body had the balance of toiv ra, according to Nefesh HaChaim, as he says, all Marishan, he had a choice between good and bad, not because his body itself was pulling him in two directions. Again, or the Marishan which had a choice to do good or bad is not because within his own being there was a struggle going to either of two directions, of one of two directions. No, that's not it. Ki hu hoya odom yosher legamrei. He was created by Hashem, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, directly. He's perfect. Or the Marishan was perfect. He said, Rak, he was kolu, means he was comprised. Rak misidre koiches hakedusha levad. Or the Marishan consisted only of Kodesh Kedusha. The Cholin Yonov, everything about him, or Yekulam Yisharim, was all right, which was right, righteous, Kedoshim, Zuchochim, and pure, Toiv Gomor, Belishum Iliv Unetir Litzada Hepaklal. You see how many words, look at how many words what the Nefesh HaChaim is telling him. Or the Rishon, as far as this Etzim Guf is concerned, was Kuloi Toiv, from beginning to end. There's no Chelik Ra in him. The Ra was on the outside. The Ra is on the outside. The Nochosh, the serpent. The Ra is on the outside. And the Ra on the outside was able to infiltrate into that body that was cooler, that was full of Kedusha. Just allow it in. It'll find its way in. Not that Rav Marishan within himself had a Chelik Toiv and a Chelik Ra. And the Chelik Ra, therefore, somehow, right, became the dominant force over the Chelik Toiv. No. Or the Rishon with himself was kulei toiv. He had no chelik ra at all. The ra was mebechutz, not mebifnin. Let's take a look what he says. The koichei sorai, he says, oimdim litzad. All of the koichei sorai, he says, were on the side. The inyan bifnei atzmoi chutz memenu. Anything ra was beyond him, was extraneous from him. But he had a choice whether to allow it in or not. Very simply, right? A person, right, he's in the house. A person is in the house, so he's safe. He has the brother to open the door and allow the elements in or out. The house itself is pure. The house is fine, let's say. Good. We're talking about even for physical elements. The house is clean. The house can be sterilized. He opens the door, now he lets in all the various bacteria. Adam Rishon was the same thing. As far as he's concerned, he was Kulei Kodesh. But now, but from the outside, bringing in that which is on the outside, in this case it was the Nochosh, which is the Kulei Chara, he had the Bechira either to allow it in or not. That's the Nekudah. So Bahoy Bal Bechira, Adam Rishon had a choice, Likonois El Kulei Chara Chaz V'Sholem, to allow, Kamosh Adam Bal Bechira Likonis El Tachoesh. Theoretically, a person, look, No person is right mind will jump into the fire. But you have a choice if you want to, yes. If you want to, you can. Person says, I can't jump into the fire. No, you could. You don't want to. But it's so far-fetched that you say, I can't. But the fact is, you have a choice. So he said, O the Marishan, Kirchen, Kishirotza Hasitra Achre, when the Sotan wanted Lachtioi to make him sin, Hutzra Chanocha Shlove Mebechutz, because the Rishon within, he had no Yetzer, or the Rishon Mebifnim had no Yetzer. So the Nochosh had to try to infiltrate from the outside, Liftois, to persuade him, and to seduce him. Loike Moshe Ata. Now it's not like that. Now we have the Ra inside, the Yetzer is inside. In other words, now the Yetzer moved in. Before the Chet Yetzer did not move in, the Yetzer was outside. Or the Rishon was Kulei Toiv. He allowed the Yetzer in. After the Chet now, there's a Taroivis of Toiv Ra. Now there is a mixture of good and bad within the human body. Loike Moshe Ata, not like now. Shayetza Mafatas Odom, the Yetzer that persuades a person today, who betoich Odom Atzmoi. Today is within man. We have the Yetzer within ourselves. We have within ourselves two chalokim, two parts. In other words, the Yetzer is actually part and parcel of the human being. The human being feels that's part of him. Who writes it? He's the one that wants. Then the nimshich lasas oven. In other words, if a person wants to do an avera, he said today he says, I want to do the avera, because he and the Yitzhar is one. I. Time of the Mauritian, it wasn't the I that wanted to do avera. The Yitzhar says to him, you do. The Yitzhar says you, and he got taken in. But it's not that I want to do, because it wasn't part of him. That's what the Chaim says. Today the person is the roitzer. It's not that Yitzhar is saying to him, you do it. Of course he's saying to him, you do it. But man feels as if he wants it, because the Yitzhar is all part of him. So whatever the Yitzhar wants, man feels that he is the one that wants. Who haroitzev and nimshich lasasov? V'loisha acha chutz memenu mefateu. Today we don't feel like somebody from the outside is telling us to do, right? To do what's bad, or to do, to indulge. But we feel it because in fact, yes, the Yitzhar now has moved in. Ubechetoi, through the chet of Adam Rishon, she nimshech. The fact that Adam Rishon allowed himself to be attracted. Acha pitroi hasitrachre. He allowed himself to be attracted, right, to the seduction of the Yitzhar. Os nisavu hakoichois harab betoichoi mamish. So now all mixed in mamish, it became actually mixed in. So says Reb Chaim, so from now on, whatever man does, there's always a mixture of good and bad. You hear what he says? Being that there's a mixture, if we are made up, if now we are actually physically made up, so every part of us has a chelik good and a chelik bad. So Reb Chaim said there's good news and bad news in that. The bad news is that even when we do good, he says, there's a chelik ra, which means it's not perfect. Ain't sadik bo sashiyat. Nobody can do perfect good. You can do good, but nothing's perfect, because always there's a chelik ra. The Shem Shemayim wasn't the way it's supposed to be. They dig to the proper detail, maybe the pay. So there's always something that's not perfect. And what's the good news? That even when you do bad, it's not perfectly bad either. There's a chelik toiv also somewhere. It's a chelik toiv also, because it's a chelik ra, there's a chelik toiv. This is Reb Chaim. From that moment on, after the chet, there became a mixture of good and bad. A big mishmash. He says a very big mix of the ma'asav in the actions of man. Meaning, shekol ma'asav odom. From now on, whatever man does is bavuvia. It's always a mixture. It's not absolute in one direction. It's always ba'avuvia v'hishtavus rabus, and keeps changing mode. Pam toiv u'pam ra u'mishapach tomim toiv ra. Man keeps jumping good and bad, good sometimes does good, sometimes bad. From bad he does good and good bad. But not only that, v'gam ha'maisa toiv atzma, even when he does good, kemat bilti efshil, the rov oilam is kemat impossible, shetir kuloi kodesh zacho nekila gamra. It's called nashayach, it should be completely pure. Relation the tier that a person shouldn't have any ulterior motive. So even when you do good, there's always going to be something that takes away from the perfection, from the luster, from the beauty, from the quality. That he means for himself, he has some personal interest. It's not kulo v'shem shemayim lo avodas Hashem. The opposite also. But when he does something that's not good, there's also meurav a koyach. The poem is a machshava l'toyv. At least the miyoyner, at least the way, you know, in his mind he thought there's a tzad good. Why am I doing this bad? Because he makes a cheshbon, there's a tzad good in it also. So it comes out there's a mixture of toiv ra, mixture of toiv ra. So based upon what Reb Chaim said now, that being that after the chet, the whole constitution of a person has changed. That the Yitzhar that used to be on the outside, now the Yitzhar moved in. That's the major fundamental difference between the Adam Rishon before the Chet. Because many ask, if there was no Yitzhar before the Chet, how did Adam Rishon Chet? There was the Yitzhar. The Yitzhar was on the outside, coming in. Today, the Yitzhar is on the inside. So man, the Yitzhar is part of you. As the Yetzer Tov is part of you, the Yetzer Hara is also part of you. So just a few lines to see how Rav Bestler explains it, practically speaking, in the psychology of the human psyche, of how the Mauritian thought before the Chet, and how the Machshava of our Machshava today after the Chet. So we have here a few words of Rav Bestler, Michtam Eliyahu Chelik Beis. It's on page 138, in the Chelik Beis of Michtam Eliyahu. Rav Bestler says the following, just as a Chelik of his words. He said, Be'er Dvar HaMe'irin. He says, he says that the enlightened words, the illuminating words, he says, of Nefesh HaChaim is as follows. She'achshav, he says, today, the matzav shalachar ha'chet, now after the chet of all the Mauritian, nishmoin lonu dira yetzahar, when the yetzahar talks to us, he speaks to us in first person. I mean, I want to do this. This is the way a person feels. When a person is, it's not that Yisrahar is talking to him. Yisrahar talks to him in first person, which means the person feels that he really wants to do it. Ani roitze. Ani misave. I desire. I want. And the Yetzer Tov is Tovea Mutonu Beloshe Neuchich. Is on the other hand, the Yetzer Tov speaks to us in second person. Ata Mechuyiv. You have to do the right thing. Osir Eloch. You can't. Ukedoyim. Kloimer. He says, "Haseichel." He says, "V'hamatz for in tovim utonu." Haseichel demands from us a toy vayosher. Utzeneru b'tchila. He says, "Mizdayim ataiva," which means our natural inclination is to do the taiva, but there's a voice. The Yetzer Tov comes to us and says, "No, it's not right." But the natural inclination is the Yetzer Hara is the first person. The Yetzer Tov is the one that sort of like comes and says, no, he comes to counter. How can you do that? You shouldn't do that. You're mechuyev to be better. You're obligated to do the other thing, and so on. But when the Yetzer Hara tells you to do something, it's not the Yetzer Hara says, you should do something. I want to do it. Because the Yetzer Hara is mamish ingrained within us. So that becomes first person. But the Rishon was the other way around. The Yetzer Tov was the first person. The Yetzer Hara was the second person. You do that. And you do this, and so on. That's mamish of Avaloi Kenes, Odom Rishon, he says. This is not the way it was by Odom Rishon. Ki Olekim Moses Odom Yoshar. According to his very nature, he would do the right thing. Based upon his very nature, or today it's not like that. Based upon our very nature, we would not do the right thing. We have to fight to do the right thing. That's today. But on Rishon, by his very nature, the Rishon created him Yosher. So on Rishon, he said, it was not like that. Based upon his very nature, he would do Masha Royal Asos. Konshikosa Rambam. Kloimer. Rotzen v'chofetz ha'ani shaloi, his ani, what he wanted, hoi muchuvonim, was directed rak lasiyas atoy v'arosha. V'hara, it is the bad that was outside. Just the opposite. V'hara hoi yechutz memenu. K'ma shekosa b'nefesh ha'chaim hanal, like the nefesh ha'chaim that we just learned a moment ago. Therefore, asher al kein, hoi yitzorech ha'nochosh, lovoi mebechutz lefatoy soy. Because according to his nature, or the mission would only do good. Yisrael was the unnatural part that came to talk to him. Ubir Advarim, as he says, Shapitui, because the persuasion of the Yisrael, the Nochosh, Lohoyoyochalahavis, Odom Arishal Machshav, Ani Misave. Before the Chayt, Yisrael could not bring a person to think, I really want it. No. It was not the I. Because the I, Metivoy, the nature of man was to do good. At the time before the Chayt, look what Rav Dessler expressed himself. Kilis Avois, Dovor, to have a natural desire to do against the Rotzon Hashem, that was something that was Etzloi Mufrach Legamra, it was something out of the question. There's no such thing that I want to do something negative to Rotzon Hashem. Like saying, I want to jump into the fire. Just like it's not shy for a person to say, I want to jump into the fire. Before the Chayt was not shy that I want to do something against Rotzon Hashem. So it was not the I. But then came an effort from the outside. The Nochesh comes to him and says, Ato, I am persuading you that the Koyel HaBo'el of Mebechutz, but not Mitoy Chuani. So that is the basic difference. So, man and nature, right, as we see, man and nature is totally different than it was, and therefore we understand the real struggles that man has. The real struggles that man has is because the nature of man, that's what it is. So the Yetzer Tov comes from the outside. It's the mamish the hepech as it was by the time of Adam Rishon. Rishon, the Tov was the natural state of man, the Yetzer Hara came from the outside. But now it's just the opposite. So our struggles now are on a higher level than the struggles of Adam Rishon. Our struggles today are on a higher level than the struggle of Rishon. Why? But Rishon, for his very nature, was tight. The Yitzhar had to come from the outside. Okay, it was a very powerful Yitzhar there. But a component, he says, but us is the other way around. Our nature, as we said, the Yitzhar is the inside, and the Tov is coming from the outside. This is the way the Nefesh HaChaim had developed the idea. So, a little bit of a cute thing, as we have, it's very nice to conclude this segment here. But the Shem Shmuel and Parshas Vayera, which is the son of the Avnezer, one of the classical Sfarim, which we feature many times Shabbos morning, the Shem Shmuel, it's a very beautiful thing. And this is the middle of an essay there, the Shem Shmuel, in Paz Vayero. He says, okay, in the Moreno Elu, he says, he says, Inyan Sholom Aleichem. He wants to explain, Friday night, people come home from Shul, we say, Sholom Aleichem, B'leil Shabbos. And the idea of saying Sholom Aleichem, you have to understand, is not that easy after a hard week, a six-day week, all of a sudden Shabbat says, now I have to be peaceful. It's very hard to try to divest yourself, right, after a hard week of 6 days. The Bevadai Liska, the hair. You know, it's a mitzvah on Shabbos. Tell me on Shabbos. After 6 days, he says, all of a sudden, it's like cold turkey, just turn around. Till now, you're Isaac in the Choyl. All of a sudden, I want you to change and turn to Kedusha. So he says, it's not a posh tazach. The Bevadai Liska is loinik Shabbos, kosher ma'oid, lo'odom, ha'torud, b'chol sheshim e'maisim. So how does that happen? How does that happen? Ach lozeboim hamalochim mekoidim mevorchim b'sholim. Hear that? So the bracha of the malochim. Malochim Friday night, they give you a bracha for sholim. And they give you a bracha l'sholim, thereby to enable you to find peace on Shabbos. Be very difficult for a person in a natural oifen, after a six-day week, with all the things that come up during the week. And there's so many things that a person has to encounter, the person has to overcome, and now comes Shabbos, you say all of a sudden, okay, forget about everything, peaceful, clear your mind. It's like pushing a button, clear. It doesn't go like that. Therefore we have Malachim come and give you a bracha of Shalom to be able to be zeichet to Oinik Shabbos. And he goes on to explain Shalom on Shabbos is not simply, what's Shalom in a Shabbos? Well, Shalom can be understood in many ways. But the highest level of Shalom that we're talking in Avodas Hashem is as follows. The Yuvin, this would be understood, Al Pima Shehigit Kvod Kedushas Ovi, Adoyim Moed Rabbi, that's the Yavne Nezer, his father the Yavne Nezer, Zechet Tzadik Lebrochot. Bod Omro, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that Ner Shabbos, Mishum Shalom Beisoy. The Gemara says that the candles that we light on Shabbos is for Shalom Bayis. The Shabbos candles, and by the way, and the Shabbos candles are very, very important, right? The Shabbos is because of Shalom Bayis. And what are we told if a person only has candles for Shabbos, and, right? Or for Chanukah, right? So Ner Shabbos tells us that Shalom Bayis is the highest level. Shalom Bayis is the highest level. Ner Shabbos is because of Shalom Bayis. But Shalom Bayis has many meanings as well. Shalom Bayis between husband and wife. Shalom Bayis is also to have peace within yourself, said the Adonizer. Why? Because there is a struggle between the Guf and the Neshama. There's conflict. The Neshama pulls in one direction, and the Guf pulls another. What the Guf wants, the Neshama doesn't want. And what the Neshama wants, the Guf doesn't want. So the entire week, he said, there's no peace. There's a Mechola between whom? Between the Guf and the Neshama. Guess what? Shabbos, the Neshama and the Guf are able to make peace. That's the Koyach of Shabbos. That's the Shalom of Shabbos. Let's take a look. He says, the Koyach of Shabbos is because the distinction is, the Bechol Sheish Shemei Amaisa ain't Shalom between Guf Adam. Throughout the 6 day week, there's no Shalom within the Guf of a person, Shan Nefesh, Moshech, Eslamala. The Neshama pulls upward, strives for something higher, live a higher life. Vaguf Achoy Melamata. And the Guf in the physical is in the bottom. That's what it used to be. Chazal tells us that even an Amoris, an ignorant person, when Shabbos came, there was something Shabbos, he wouldn't lie, the Gemara says. Even a person who during the week would lie Shabbos, he wouldn't lie. Even an Amoris, look at the Koyach of Shabbos. Shabbos permeates the entire being of a person. Shabbos ein haguf ha'choymer moishchin kol kach lamato. The Guf and the physical become relaxed, and they're not so insistent to drag you down. And Shabbos. And that's the Shalom B'nayim. So now the Shalom between the Guf and the Neshama. At Kandavar, this is what my father said. So now says the Shem Shmuel the Yishloimer, that might be the bracha that the Malachim are giving Shalom. The Yishloimer, Shazeru Yin Shamalachim, that's what it means, the Malachim give you the blessing, Malachim B'Shalom. What kind of Shalom? That your gift, Neshama, should live in harmony. That throughout the Shabbos, they should be able to live side by side. Shemagbim Gav the Guf. Shabbos elevates the Guf to become closer to Neshama. The gap that you have normally between the Guf and the Neshama should be lessened. The Guf should become closer to the Neshama. And that will be the Shalom Bayis, that will be the ultimate Shalom of Shabbos. So the struggle that we have after the Chet of Adam Rishon, between the Yetzer, Toiv, and the Yetzer Hara, between the Guf and the Neshama, Shabbos of Kapolim, we have this bracha that for Yidus really looking for Kedusha Shabbos, he's able to find that Gevaldik Yisata Tishma in the Koyach of Shabbos, to have that Koyach of Shalom Bayis. And that's why Shabbos, where we have the Neshama Yisera. Now what does the Neshama Yisera do? Is the Shami say Dafke that you should learn more on Shabbos? Does the Shami say me that what? That you should dav more on Shabbos? No. Rashi says himself it's better than the Shami say you should eat more on Shabbos. The Shami say, Neshama, you need a bigger stomach. What do you mean the Shami say a bigger Neshama? Because Shabbos, the Guv and the Neshama live in harmony. The Achil and Shti of Shabbos, the normal eating and drinking that during the week is something physical. But Shabbos, it is neshama related. The achila and the shtiyah, the macholim of Shabbos, the whole Shabbos experience is neshama related. So even the achila, so the neshama you say, you're giving an extra neshama for the achila and the shtiyah, because they're all related. They are no longer in contradiction when Shabbos comes. Now, Baisai, when you have Chanukah, for your remaining moments, 3 minutes, or so, 4 minutes, Chanukah also, it's the struggle between the guf and the neshama. The Yavonim glorified the guf. Anybody knows anything a little bit about Greece, about Yavon? It's about Olympics, it's about sports. It's the guf, it's totally. But Chilosoi Vatsoipo is the guf. Klaus says it's the opposite. Mashkicham Torah Secho, fighting to preserve the Kedushas HaTorah. The Yavonim tried to be Metamed Shemanim, tried to be Metamed Menorah, to Metamed Midosh. Chanukah is the Avodah. That was the Muhammad. Muhammad was between Geboyim Biyat Chaloshim, Rabbi Atameim Biyat Ha'orim. It's the Guf versus the Neshama. That is the Avodah of Chanukah. And Chanukah, we were Zoyche, that the Chelik and Neshama, that the spiritual were overpowered the Chelik of the physical. And Chanukah, if you never heard it till now, Chanukah is the Gematria Guf. Because that was the Avodah. Both, the Rabbi says, the Gematria 89. So that is the Avodah of Chanukah. In the struggle of Guf versus the Neshama, that's the Koich of Chanukah to be able to do that. Talking about the Yetzer Hara, let me tell you one thing. We had many, many years ago here, Rav Yankel Galinsky, a very well-known Baal Musar, and he said that he was told, he's basically a Baal Musar from Navardik, that's his Mesoirah, the Navardik Yeshita of Musar. So he said that he heard from his father. His father's name was Rav Avraham Tzvi, who heard it from the Chofetz Chaim. And Chofetz Chaim told him as follows. Rav Avraham Tzvi, the father of Yankel Galinsky, was a Talmud of Chofetz Chaim, Ashin Radin. So he hears, one day he hears that another Talmud approaching the Chofetz Chaim, and he has a problem. What's the problem? Something bothers him very much. And that is that someone showed him a Zohar. The Zohar Kodesh says the following. This is what the Zohar says. The Zohar says, Kol Pekuda, any mitzvah, this is Zohar. Kol pekuda, any mitzvah, the leizba dechilu urechimu, if you perform a mitzvah without fear and without love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, lo yisalke le'ela, then the mitzvah does not go up to heaven. In other words, the mitzvah, to really be a quality mitzvah, you have to do the mitzvah with yireh, with your shemayim, and you have to do it with ahava, with ahavas Hashem. So this Talmud comes over and he says, so what will happen, he says, to our generation? What kind of Olam Haba will we ever have? After all, our performance of mitzvahs, or at least the Talmud is talking about himself, he says, it seems to be so pitiful, he says, if we're going to really scrutinize, put our mitzvahs, you know, towards this x-ray machine, and then there we're going to find out that our mitzvahs are lacking a lot of Ahava, very little Yira, he says, and we're not going to have the ability to have those mitzvahs go up to Shemayim. So what real value will it have in the world to come? What can we expect when our time comes based upon our mitzvahs, based upon the poor quality of our mitzvahs? But so far, he says, from the levels, he says, of the previous generations, the way they used to do mitzvahs. This is what the Talmud asked the Chofetz Chaim, and Rav Avraham Tzvi Galinsky overheard it. The Chofetz Chaim, he calmed it down, he says, let me tell you what happened to me, the Chofetz Chaim said, a while ago. He said, before the World War, says the Chofetz Chaim, he says, I met a baker. Before World War, he says, I met a baker who I knew, he said, was walking the street. They asked him how business is doing. And the baker says to me, he says, Rebbe, he says, I wish I would be able to say the business was good, but Lamaisi, the truth is, I work all night, I bake about 1,000 rolls a day. I bake about 1,000 rolls a day, bread and rolls. It's very long and hard and tedious work. But in the morning, he says, all I hear are complaints. One customer says that the roll isn't round enough. He claims the whole of the bagel should be bigger. The other one says that what? That the bread is overbaked. And the third one says it's underbaked. So each one has a different... So what am I supposed to do? So how does I try? He says, I can't sell them all. I can't sell all the goods. So Marilla, they sell, I bake 1,000, I sell about 600. So the other 400, he says, I have to sell in the afternoon as animal food. He sells much very cheap. So he says, give me a bracha for Panosa. Chos Chaim says, I gave him a bracha. Sometimes later he says, the world war broke out, and I meet him again after the war breaks out. And this time the baker seemed very happy. He's very happy. Says, I was surprised at Chofetz Chaim because everybody was downcast because of the war. He asked him how business was doing. He says, wonderful. Says, Chofetz Chaim says, I asked him, it's wartime, how could it be good? That's just it. During the war, people take any bread and rolls they can find. They're not particular. During the wartime, they take any shape. Just give me food. Give me bread, give me rolls. So Chofetz Chaim, he said, that's exactly what Hashem feels about our generation. Goalless is wartime. All the temptations, all the nesyonos, because Baruch accepts any mitzvah he can get, any shtickle bread and any roll, he said. We can't compare Sally to previous generations in those times. There was a kapodah, it had to be exact, it had to be perfect, it had to be b'tchilu rechimu. Our generation is wartime. And in wartime, if you can still on the kind mitzvahs, because Rabbi says, you know what, just give me that mitzvah. It's beautiful, it's gewaldig, and it's tremendous. And that's what Rav Tzadok HaKohen really says. Many have asked, why should our generation, we're hoping for Bias HaMashiach, we say, the old generations, right? You had Tanoim, you had Amoraim, you had Nevi'im, you had the Rambam, you had Rashi, you had all the greats. Mashiach didn't come. So why is the Mashiach going to come in our generation? Why didn't it come? Because in our generation, the little bit that we do, and we are able to go in the derech of Kedusha is much more choshev to Kodesh Baruch Hu, our little things, than maybe greater things in earlier times. And therefore, Dafkin, this generation, because it is wartime, Kodesh Baruch Hu considers everything that we do to be extra so choshev, and Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoiche, she also in this, beyond the hem, is man hazeh, very soon, amen.